We end Easter week with these readings and get ready for tomorrow, which has a new name now, right? It's Mercy Sunday. And it used to just be called the Sunday after Easter, but now it's called Mercy Sunday. This first reading is about the boldness of Peter and John. See, it's one thing to know and to believe. It's another to go tell people about it. And there's a lot of pressure against people who walk around telling everybody about Jesus and about that he's risen and that he loves them. And, people are kind of... We have to do it anyway. Now, of course, I have an easier time because I'm wearing a collar. Everybody expects me to be saying something about God or, once in a while anyway. When you're on the plane, whoever sits next to me is going to go after me. That's delightful. I mean, they start the conversation most of the time about the pedophilia priest or about something, Thank God, now we can... We don't have to talk about the weather, so that's the... this boldness of Peter and John. Now, it's grounded on the fact that the Lord, through them, just healed the guy whom everybody knew was a cripple. Well, as they say in... Contra factum non valet argumentum. You can't argue against a fact, He was crippled, now he's healed, there you are. You can think, it was psychosomatic, or you can, but you can't deny the fact. That's the beautiful thing about healing. Why there's always healing. When the gospel is preached. And nowadays, it hasn't been so much in our area, but in other places, when the gospel is being preached, or when there's a big rally or a big... thousands of people are healed. Why? A, the mercy of the Lord, they're sick and they need healing. But B, the Lord declaring, I am here, I am alive, I love you, I want you to come to me, believe in me, be baptized, and be saved. And so, and it's pretty exciting when you see that happen in a, large way. And there have been, as you know, places where the Holy Spirit came, people started to pray in tongues, and hundreds were healed. Now, the gospel today is what's called the Markan ending. What do we mean by that? The gospel, as far as, from the language, it seems as though in the form that we have it, Mark's gospel ends with verse 8 of chapter 16. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. E fauntogar. That's the end of the gospel. Is it really? Some people didn't think so they added this, which is inspired by God. It's the word of God. It's just not Markan authorship. And so you have these summaries. When Jesus had risen early on the first day, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Then our Lord shows up later on, and they believe. But the that's not in our text here. That's in the other gospel. Here, after this, he appeared in another form to two of them, walking along on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they did not believe them either. But they shortly did believe, because, well, you remember that we just had it the other day, on the way to Emmaus, and they come running back, and they go in, and we saw the Lord, we saw the Lord. Oh, I mean, you guys are getting too upset. I mean, it's not, and then Jesus stands there. Whoop. And they're so, he says, do you have anything to eat? Oh, yeah, here. They watched him eat it. They said, that's for real. That's not a vision or an illusion. That's somebody eating food. He's risen from the dead. And then the last one of these, of which we have no exact narration. The 11 were at table. He appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. And you'd think he'd say, and now you're fired. But he doesn't say that. He says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Our Lord specializes in failures, making saints of them. I always think of Camillus Stolelis. I don't know if you already know about him. He and his father were both soldiers of fortune, gamblers, womanizers, you name it. And then one day, Camillus was touched, and he repented. His father stopped being, they were like soldiers of fortune. They'd go fight for anybody and kill anybody, you know. And he had this huge change. So he wanted to join an order. No order would take him. We've heard about you, you know. Just think what you'll do to our reputation if you came in. You would have had a saint in your midst. That's what would have happened. Your stock would go up quite a bit. You know, one of you is a saint, you know. But they were afraid of him. So he went down to the poorest of the poor and started to just care for them. And as he did that and grew in holiness, people started to gather around him. So all the orders that wouldn't take him had to watch him start his own. And so this is the same thing in a way here. You see, it's this, it's too out of the ordinary. I remember, some of you may remember, when the charismatic renewal began, people praying in tongues and praising God and healing going on, and everybody else were running the other way. Why? It's too obvious. God gets too real. And we'd rather have him at a respectable distance. So that if we do want to sin, he's not too close, you see. And so, but it is too close. He's not too close, but he's close. In a few minutes, we will feed on his risen body and blood. And he told us, do this in memory of me. Now, to remember biblically means to have the reality so present that you're different. That's what remember means. That's why, how many times in the Bible does the Lord say, Shakachta, you forgot? He doesn't mean it slipped your mind. He means it's having no impact on you. you know, you're going along your life. Yeah, yeah, sure, Jesus rose from the dead. I'm very happy about that. But it doesn't do anything to you. And the Lord would say, you forgot. You forgot I rose from the dead. You forgot I feed you on your body, on my body and blood. Because it's not having an impact. So to remember is to have that reality so present that you're different. And so he went after them, see. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. And then, as I said, so you expect him to say, now you're fired, right? He says, no. Go and preach. And of this crowd, nearly everyone was martyred. So they were pretty convinced. That's the last message of the octave. That's why they put the gospel there, this Mark gospel here. Tomorrow, we start Mercy Sunday, the octave, and all the rest. But let this remember, you know, let's not forget this. Tell people. Find a way to let people know that he's alive, and that he loves us, and that he wants to prepare us for an eternity with him.